So there's all kinds of anxieties, anxiety disorders that you're probably familiar with. There's phobias, where you might have a real panic attack or react strongly with heart palpitations, sweating, or if you're exposed to whatever it is you're afraid of, whether it's a bridge, an elevator, a spider, or even a social phobia when you have to face people. So phobias are dramatic. Separation anxiety is the one I get when I see kids in my office. The child I described to you that's worrying constantly, she has an anxiety disorder. She inherited it. Her mother right in the room said she worried our life. The family history is full of it. The only thing you got to be careful with when you learn about families, whether they're families in your life or you're in this profession, is you got to listen for it. Because remember, they didn't have diagnosis and labels and psychopharmacology. They had alcoholism, they had nervous breakdowns, they had other ways of expressing and other words for this. So you need to listen for it. Was anyone in the family a nervous Nelly? Did somebody worry all the time? Anybody very compulsive about germs and washing their hands all the time and everything had to be clean, or they really got very upset? And you're looking for those kinds of compulsive behaviors that we know are about anxiety. And let me explain that one, because we've all been there. If you haven't had anxiety yet in your life, you're blessed, you're lucky. Anxiety is a feeling of loss of control, and it's a generalized nervousness. It doesn't have to be a sharp panic attack like a fear of an elevator. When we engage in behaviors that give us a sense of control, whether it's an eating disorder and we're counting calories and we are counting fat grams so we can feel better and have our little system and our little game for weight, and we get on the scale all the time, that's an anxiety about body and weight. If it's about germs and a fear of germs and diseases that you're going to catch and you're washing your hands a lot compulsively, the washing the hands binds the anxiety and comforts the person. So first you have the fear, then you have the behavior that you engage in to eliminate the fear and to comfort yourself. So I can't take a girl in my office who's got an eating disorder and try and take away her eating rituals because she has too much anxiety. It would be like pulling the pacifier away from a child dramatically, right when they really need it. I have to work on the other building self and other ways for comfort and coping before she's solid enough to let go of this system. So just to help you understand how anxiety works. Well, in separation anxiety, which this child in my office also had today, the worrier, when her parents leave to go out on a date or go out, she freaks out. I mean, she's upset, she's sobbing for hours, and she's panicked. Well, the thoughts going on in her mind is that they're going to disappear, they're going to dissolve, they're going to have an accident, they're going to not come home. She has any number of thoughts that they won't come back to her. That's pretty severe separation anxiety. Now, going back to the normal question, is it normal for children to have separation anxiety? If you know developmental psychology, you know that there are normal times in early childhood that children have extreme separation anxiety, and it's a life survival time. When you're very young and you're helpless and you're 18 months old or 2 years old and your caregiver is leaving you, and depending again on your temperament and your sense of vulnerability, you would panic too. This is normal for a child that young to scream or cry. And then when the nanny or the babysitter can comfort that child, and fortunately, cognitively, for children that age, out of sight, out of mind. So once, I mean, literally, in terms of their cognitive development and object constancy, when that mother's gone, they don't necessarily hold the image of mother there. So whoever is with them, if it's a comforting, warm, responsive, empathic caretaker, they will stop crying pretty quickly. Again, depending on the severity. If they don't, that's a sign of the severity. If they cry for hours, or it's a sign that the child care provider is not good and you need to switch.